At this point, Milton gets to make a sur rebuttal to the answer, which was the answer to the rebuttal that he gave before Mr. Hazlitt gave his talk. That will be short. Then Henry Hazlitt will have a sur rebuttal, and that will be shorter. Then we'll have questions from the floor.
Well, I can be very short indeed, because I agree with almost everything both of these eminent gentlemen said. They agreed with me. They didn't realize it. But I was reminded by Ernst's comments about rationality, about that wonderful crack of an old teacher of mine, John Maurice Clark, who once wrote that an irrational passion for dispassionate rationality takes the joy out of life. I may also say that I think Ernst, while he says I disregard a fact about the poor, disregards one fact about the well-to-do, and that is that the reason they are well-to-do is that they're better able to handle themselves with the tax collectors than the poor are. So that in point of fact, discussing his points, so far as Ernst is concerned, there's very little difference of opinion between us. Of course you must check on the income of the poor. We have checks on the income of the rich. If we're going to use the internal revenue device to check people, we ought to check as thoroughly as we can, subject to the proviso that you made that we not get counterproductive. And I agree with you that I would want to go farther for social reasons and I would want to go solely for the economic gain from it. But I think that you are grossly overestimating the difficulties that would be involved in such checks. I think that I have, through the course of many, many years, I have over and over again come up against the judgment, oh, this is administratively difficult or impossible. And it always turns out to be just an excuse for not doing something that people don't want to do. So that I really think that the problem of administering it and of checking on it is far simpler than the problem of the checking on the present, incredibly more complicated system of requirement. From that point of view, it's a great advantage. So with respect to Ernst, I have very little disagreement. I think he underrates greatly the people who are now on relief and the low-income people. I think it is not true that they are really in a pre-industrial state, that they're unable to calculate, that they're irrational and all the rest. On the contrary, most of them are currently on relief because that has turned out to be the most advantageous position for them to be in. They're not there because they're irrational, but because they're rational. They're not there because they can't calculate, but because they can. And what I want to do is to establish a system under which, trying to calculate where they're best off, they will find that they are better off getting jobs, working, and earning some income. If you talk to a lady who is on relief today, who has, let's say, three children, who is getting an amount which will enable her to live, and she asks you the advice, I've got an opportunity of getting a job over here which will pay me a little bit more than I'm now getting. Would I be wise to take it? If you've got any sense at all, you'll say, no, you'd be very unwise. Suppose you lose that job in 2 weeks. Well, then it may take you 5 months to get back on relief, to reestablish eligibility. If you take that job, you're going to have some expenses of travel, of going back and forth, of different clothes. So that, in fact, the people who are the great charge I have against our present relief program is precisely that it has made it rational for so many people, many more than we should have, to be on relief. And the problem is, how do we make it rational for them to get off? Now here, when we come to Henry, I am delighted at the outset, I may say, to give Henry priority. It just demonstrates that all reasonable, intelligent, rational people who look at the same problem come out with the same answer. I am sorry to see that his powers of rationality have declined with time. But more seriously, I agree with almost everything Henry says. But everything he says applies to the present system. The problem with Henry's analysis is that it really does not provide an effective alternative device for reducing the present system and getting out from under it. The fact of the matter is that this $140 billion he speaks of, or the $45 billion I spoke of before, arose precisely because of those political pressures he's talking about. The crucial question is whether those political pressures are stronger under a widely diversified program which enables many special interests to operate on them, or are stronger in a single generalized program where the cost is clear and open and above board, and you will have a calculation about how much you are spending. The arguments about the fact that it's bad for people to have money given, that many of them do not know how to use the money, that they need guidance and help, I agree with them entirely. That's the great argument for voluntary charity. That's why free enterprise is better in distributing charity than government enterprise is, just as it is in producing goods. Now, under the present system, you have essentially destroyed voluntary charity in this country because you have socialized that activity. One of the great virtues of a negative income tax is that it would open up again a possibility for voluntary charity. Because if you took the great burden of income maintenance off the back of the voluntary agencies, which they cannot maintain, they cannot satisfy given the level to which it's risen, if you took it off their back, you would then have many of the hardship cases Henry talks about, of course. There are going to be people who will be getting this payment and will be going down to the corner liquor store and getting rid of it. They're doing it now. Only now, of course, they have to go through more complicated maneuvers. They have to buy the food for their children and then sell it at half the price that they paid for it in order to get the money to go down to the corner liquor store. But they're doing it now. They're ingenious. Under the negative income tax, such people would be, I would hope, the main objects of voluntary charitable organizations that would develop and emerge and that would be, and that you now have, but have been essentially suppressed by the government socialization. So I see the negative income tax as a way of achieving his objective. I do not believe that this case-by-case procedure is feasible or possible in a socialized way. His confidence in government employees exceeds mine. Now, of course, let me say only one other thing. Of course, on the argument, I would like to see the negative income tax take the place of all existing programs, but I am not so naive as to suppose it will. But I do believe it will take the place, as Ernst said, of direct relief, aid to dependent children, direct welfare programs. That's the place we start. Next, I believe that in existence, it would undermine many of the arguments for many of the other programs. I have argued over and over again that if we're going to attack these other programs, we have to have a place to stand. We have to have a place on which we can say, as somebody was reading the preface of Ed Banfield's book in which he starts out The Unheavenly City and saying, I want to assure my readers that I'm as soft-hearted as they are. Well, we have to have a place to stand. You have to be able to say, well, there are, in the moment, at the present, very real problems for the people who are in relief, and we propose to take care of them. Now, we've taken care of them. We're doing this. Let's get rid of all these other nonsensical things that don't help the poor, don't achieve what you want to achieve. As long as you do not have that place to stand, we are always subject to the charge, oh, you just want to stamp over the poor people with your heavy boots. We don't. We believe, Henry believes, I believe, most of the people in this room believe that the welfare of the ordinary man in this country would be improved far more by less government than we now have and by getting rid of most of these programs. But in order to make that politically feasible, we have to provide a realistic, effective way in which we can ease the transition for the people who are now, as a result of our foolish policy in the past, on relief. On that subject, I agree wholly with Ernst. If we had not had this relief program, there would not be so many people in difficulty. We've produced it. And so it seems to me, on this political level, Henry has a task to perform. He really has to tell us, not the alternative that he did, which is abolish everything we now have and go back to a poor law of a direct relief, individual case-by-case basis. Because that's what we've got now on a large scale. He has to tell us, how does he propose to get us off from where we are now, headed in the direction where all of us would want to go? Now remember, we're all in agreement about the direction we want to go. Yeah. Our argument is, how do we get moving in that direction? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll try to make this rather brief. I think Ernest Vanenhagen misunderstood me as wanting to have the relief people give guidance to the poor. I wasn't suggesting that at all. I was suggesting simply that where the relief under the conditions laid down, where they're not eligible, then they shouldn't get the relief. That's as simple as that. Now, Milton seems to think that administering this income tax system would be very simple. I think it, in fact, would be an administrative nightmare. And one of the most serious things he said was this. He said he had less confidence than I in government employees, and yet he wants to set up a system under this income tax system under which I think there would be wholesale collusion and corruption on the people administering that would make anything we have today in New York City look like child's play. The possibilities of corruption in this are absolutely endless and bottomless. I don't think I have to make a step-by-step program on what we should do about our present welfare programs. I'd like to go back to the simple thing that the way to reduce is to reduce, and the solution is let's not get in deeper, which we're doing with these programs. We'll get in far deeper. The program will be just a terrific thing once it will double or triple our whole welfare burden in no time at all until the country can't stand it any longer. I come back to this business of my own proposal in 1939. This proposal was based precisely on the grounds that Milton's present proposal is based on. I was looking for a way to see whether we could give people on relief an incentive for getting off, an incentive for self-earnings. And I proposed this plan of reducing your relief payment by only 50 cents for every dollar of self-earnings. I wish I had a blackboard to explain the kind of paradoxes you get into when you do this sort of thing. It takes a little explaining. I can only do this. I can only advertise my book, Man Versus the Welfare State, in which I have a chapter on the fallacies of the negative income tax, in which I try to explain in detail all the paradoxes and absurdities that you get into with this plan.